This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. Is there a life after death? Well, some believe that life on this earth is all there is. Others believe everyone will enter heaven's gates after death. Stay tuned as we see what Scripture teaches about life on the other side.
Is there life on the other side? This is a question that is asked by many people. And what they're inquiring about is a life after death. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this life. We thank you for all of the opportunities, the joys, and the blessings that you have given to us as we live out these years. But we thank you that as we see the life going on so rapidly, that there is a life after death. And it is based on the teachings of your holy word. So speak to us today as we ponder this question. What is it like on the other side? Amen. Friends in Christ, the question is often asked, what do you think it's like on the other side? Or do you think that there is another side? What that person is asking, is there life after death? This is not an uncommon question, especially as you're standing beside the bed of one who is passing away, one that you would love to keep here, one that is not old enough, you say, to die. Is there life on the other side? In our society today, there would be many answers to that question. Here are just a few. No, there is no life after death. Life on this earth is all that you have, so make the most out of it while you're here. Others may not be so dogmatic. They say, I don't know if there is life after death. No one has ever returned to tell us. So we'll have to see and take our chances. Another one says, I hope so. My, there's nothing to the span of a lifetime here. And then there are those who are a bit more jolly about the whole subject and say, of course there is life on the other side. God will take care of all of his children. No one is lost. Well, these are answers, but the Bible tells us, yes, there is life on the other side for all who confess Christ as Savior and Lord. Yes, there is life. Now, how can one be so dogmatic with absolutely no basis to reach this particular decision? And we have to say, if we're Christians, we do have a basis, and that is God's holy word. So taking that, then, as our confession of faith, that I believe that the Bible is a word of God, the Old Testament teaches us that there is certainly a life after death. The psalmist says, you will guide me with your counsel, O Lord, and afterwards you will receive me into glory. So those people in the Old Testament age were being taught that God is with us while we're here on this earth. He was going to guide and direct Israel and give them a way to the promised land. But he also wanted them to know that while those days could be rather difficult and they could be complaining, they were to comfort themselves in this, that there would be glory on the other side. You read the well-read 23rd Psalm, and what is the last verse? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Those were the inspired words that came from the pen of King David. Yeah, he was going to guide and counsel the king all through life. He was going to give him strength and mercy. And then David, by God's grace, you may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it is pretty clear, just talking about the matter of these two verses that I have read to you, that there is life after death, and it is filled with one verse after another in the 39 books of the Old Testament. The New Testament has at least one of its basic passages that Christ has come into this world to be our Savior and Lord and bring all those who believe in him into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the whole New Testament is centered around this idea of life eternal. But here is that great basic thought within this whole thought, that there is a life after death. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, now imagine, the thief on the cross, today, you will be with me in paradise. In other words, it can't be any clearer than that. It isn't many weeks ago that we celebrated Christmas, and that was a Christmas message. What the scriptures are trying to tell us in the gospel message that deals with the birth of our Lord is that this person who came, born in Bethlehem's manger, is the God-man. He is true man, he is true God. Jesus came to forgive us our sins and to promise that if we would receive him as Savior and Lord, there would be in eternity a place for us in the heavenly kingdom. What does he say to the disciples? He says this, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself. This is a message that Jesus wanted to bring to the people. But the Jewish people did not want to hear about him being the Messiah. And therefore, they did not want to listen to him say that he was going to lead the people into the kingdom of God. And into this kingdom they would go both for now and for all eternity. Jesus made it very clear that he had come to build his kingdom, but his people refused to accept Jesus' kingdom. It wasn't the kind of a kingdom that they wanted. He wasn't the kind of a Messiah that they were expecting. And so in Nazareth, for example, when he announced that he was the Messiah, they were anxious to do away with him. Well, early in his ministry, Jesus selected 12 disciples who were to be the men that would bring the good news of Christ to the world, to get it established on this earth. They would be commissioned to go and make disciples of all the nations by baptizing and teaching this gospel to all parts of this world. In order that they could perform this mighty task, they had to be thoroughly convinced that there was life on the other side and that Jesus Christ would alone lead them there, for he was not only man, but he was God. As a part of training the 12 disciples, he was very certain that they would understand that his primary mission here was redemptive. As a part of that training, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him one day and led them up into a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach. And they appeared before them, Elijah and Moses. They were talking with Jesus. This is unbelievable. Peter said, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then in parenthesis it said, Peter did not know what to say. He and the other two were so frightened. There was a cloud that appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from out of the cloud, This is my son, whom I love. Now you listen to him. And suddenly when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were going down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders. Now notice, orders. Not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept this matter to themselves, and they were discussing what it meant to be raised from the dead. One could ask the question, what is the purpose for the transfiguration? And I believe that some of the older theologians who have written well on this subject have given us some good thought. The purpose for Jesus was that he could take a break, as we say in our day, and it was to remind him that, after all, Jesus, you are man as well as God. And there will be times that it will be very, very difficult, for the cross is before you. You will suffer, you will die, your blood will be shed, you will be beaten, and the hard, difficult things will be said to you, and you will even see your disciples scatter. Having that before him, there is no question that Jesus had his moments. And so having had them, he decided that it was time that he be refreshed once more. And there he went and saw that he would be in the heavenly home soon. There he stood with Moses and Elijah. It would be the same as he had come from. And this would be the place where he would establish his kingdom and gather those who believed in him. So it would be a reminder of the blessed days that were ahead. What was the purpose of the transfiguration for the three disciples? Why didn't Jesus leave them behind and just go himself? For he realized that the disciples too would face suffering and martyrdom. Peter, in his second letter, reveals where he found his comfort and strength to move on as a servant of the Lord Jesus, when he writes in his second letter a passage that we can never, never forget. And it reads as this: "For we do not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the truth and the coming of Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves hear this voice when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Then they could talk about it. And when all of this was going on and they was facing that martyrdom, Peter could say, "Remember. Remember as we were walking down the mountain." There he would say to us, "Don't tell anybody, but the time is coming when we will see Moses and Elijah and all the others. There is a life on the other side." And for those of us who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it is only to say that this is what the Bible teaches. Is there a life on the other side? Well, the Holy Spirit has been anxious to take us right into his very presence and show us that there is a life. Others have another voice revealing uncertainty about life and death. And so I guess it's natural for us to ask, well, what is it really going to be like? On the other hand, it is important for us to realize that without taking the voice of Scripture and what has been taught to us so clearly here, we can live out our few years right here, and that will be it. No, it won't. There is life on the other side. There is a kingdom of hell, too. But for those who will die casting all of their cares upon Jesus, there is a life after death with him in the heavenly mansions. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us some years here on this earth, for truly it has been a great experience. There have been so many good things to enjoy. A family close to us, friends who mean a great deal to us, traditions that are precious, and so the list goes on. because it can be such a good experience right here on planet Earth, we do not like to leave. We do not like to leave families who have meant so much. We do not like to leave some of these things that excited us while we were here. Your church, to be mentioned among one of them. But Father, we do thank you that when these last days are over, whether it be 70 years and 10, more or less, we can know that because of Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have our faith, that there is life everlasting. We long to know what that is all about. We long, O God, to realize that it's going to be a marvelous experience. But we pray that we may be ready, that we may know you, Savior, and that we may give our love to you. For certainly you have first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. January 12th, the board, both past and present, of Christian Crusaders had a dinner celebrating my ministry as a speaker on Christian Crusaders. It was truly a great evening for my wife and me, and I pray many others, but as I thought of that privilege that most pastors do not have of proclaiming the gospel for 50 years over the radio, what a privilege. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been planted, and that is a seed. And I also believe that the frailty of the human being, in this case myself, can be overridden by the power of the Holy Spirit to work through this word that many people may come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and will be strengthened in their faith. That we will spend eternity with God in heaven because there is life on the other side. As I thank the board members of the past and the present, I want to thank you, the radio listening audience, for making this ministry possible through your prayers and your gifts. From a human point of view, you are the ones who have made it possible. And today, Christian Crusaders is heard throughout the United States and other parts of the world. So let us listen to that marvelous hymn of the church. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, as once again we say, thank you very much for making him known.
Been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We pray that your heart has been touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or some other occasion. For your convenience, we are now able to accept donations by credit card. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truth to those who are unable to worship in the church of their choice. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Please address your gifts and requests to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 50 years. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth every Sunday since 1936.